Let's go and continue our series on vision, and I trust a lot of you have been getting stuff out of it. I know I have been. Just going back and reading through all this stuff and thinking about this stuff again kind of reminds myself of some things that not that I've forgotten, but that I'm not really implementing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, life's nothing but correcting, course correction. And if you're not careful, you'll become so far behind you think you're in first place. You can. Let me know what I'm talking about. You're leading the pack is because the pack's already, long gone. Last Monday, I believe, we finished off that we need to be the prophet of our own life. And I can't stress the importance of that enough, because whether we realize it or not, we already are the prophet of our life, whether we recognize it or not. And sometimes when, they have all these phrases that people use, we need to have a checkup from the neck up and all those types of things. That's all true. Sometimes we need to think about what we're thinking about. So many times we don't think about what we're thinking about. We just let whatever we think about, we think. And we don't notice. I know that that's very deep. You can write that down. But what we're thinking really is producing what we're thinking. It really is. It's impossible for us to be sowing the wrong seeds and getting the right results. And so I have to look at myself all the time, because I don't know about you, but it is not natural for me. Notice what I said. Natural for me, my human person, to speak only what God is saying and not to speak what I'm seeing. A lot of times we speak what we're seeing and not speaking what God's saying. Or we speak what we're seeing and then add God at the end or whatever. We need to become people, not that we ignore and don't see. See, that there's a big balance. You know, if my arm gets cut off, Sean, we need to do something. What are you talking about? Your arm's cut off. No, in the name of Jesus, everything's fine. Amen. You're in denial. Amen. You don't need to be in denial where you are. We need to admit where we are. Sometimes the thing that keeps us where we are and not moving on to where God wants us is that we're in denial as to where we are. I don't know if that makes sense. But I heard this said one time, and I really believe it. I meditate on this. A guy named by the name of Arthur Burt. I don't even know if he's still alive. He's from Wales. He came over here a few times. He's friends with Andrew. He's like 90-something years old if he's still alive. He used to travel with Smith Wigglesworth when he was a young man in ministry. And he said, you must first own something before you can disown it. In other words, if you have a temper, stop lying about it. Stop blaming it on your heritage. We already did that one day, didn't we? Oh, it's my Irish blood boiling. No, it's not. It's your flesh. It's my Latino blood. It's amazing how all of our bloods make us mad. Shouldn't there be? How come you're so peaceful? Well, it's my, Tahitian blood. No, you have learned, if you're in a certain culture that learns to be calm, that's why it's not your blood. If you're in a certain culture, and a lot of cultures, you're just a hothead. You know, someone who's a hothead, they can help it. I don't care what they say. You can help your attitude. You can help the way you respond. If you blow up, you chose to blow up. You know, I mean, I'm a man, and a lot of men sometimes blow up. Some women do too. But what I'm saying is, it's our own fault. And so you have to own something before you can disown something. If you were not yet walking in the things of God, there's different reasons for it. One, right now God has you here, so you're on your way. You're doing what God told you. You're preparing yourself. You're allowing God to prepare yourself. But if you start to walk in things, you know, a lot of times the devil will try to get us into pity parties where we compare ourselves amongst ourselves and say, how come things seem to be working for them and doesn't seem to be working for me? Well, that could be timing element. There also are reasons why. I remember the time when I was in Russia, God said, if you were the way you needed to be, you'd already be in the place where I showed you. The thing that is hindering us from being where God has for us is we're not yet ready for it here. The children of Israel, remember the 10 spies? God had already given it to them, but they weren't ready for it here. And it's very interesting when you read the book of Joshua and you read the book of Deuteronomy, and you read those things about how God interacted with the children of Israel. It's very good to study those things. Because even though God isn't going to open up the earth and swallow us, right? Thank God for that. Some of us certainly deserve it as much as they did. But God's not going to open the earth and swallow us. We can learn from what hindered them, can't we? And so what I discovered is that in order for us to really enter into what God has for us, and I've already talked about this, so this is sort of like a review. But In order for us to enter into and grab a hold of the things that God has for us, all of those attitudes and ways of thinking have to die. They need for the earth to open up and swallow them. They need to be gone out of our lives. And the only way that will happen is if we're honest with what we're consistently meditating on and we own where we are so that we can change where we are so that we can go into what God has for us. A victim mentality will hold you back. So many people in this world have a victim mentality. We can all have it if we're not careful. Well, my daddy didn't throw the ball with me. My dad wasn't there. My dad, my mother did this. We have all these reasons. And those are all reasons for why we have a bad attitude, but they're not reasons to keep those bad attitudes. Amen. And so we have to be the prophet of our own life instead of speaking all the junk and that we're receiving from the world and from our parents and from wherever we get it. We have to be hooked up to the right receiver. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, but so often we're hooked up to the wrong receiver for the majority of our waking hours. Hopefully it's different with a lot of people here. You're recognizing that, and you're trimming off all that junk, right? You're trimming it off. It's not legalism. It's not that, you know, God doesn't want you to have television because it's the one-eyed monster, so throw it out and all that kind of stuff. No, it's an influence. Fasting and prayer is very important. Why? Influence. What are you allowing in your life that is influencing you the greatest? You know, there used to be a teacher here, and he had this phrase that he said. He said, your life will follow the direction of your most dominant thought. It's really true. Whatever is your most dominant thought is where your life will head, right? So we need to be hooked up to the right receiver, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, because I don't know if you're like me, but I kind of relate to James chapter 1, that if I'm not consistently in the Word of God, it sort of loses its influence, right? I sort of forget things that I used to know. Not that you forgot them, but they're not burning. They're not influencing you the way it once did, and that's our fault, and it's the subtlety of the devil that gets us to become distracted by all the things this world has to offer. You know, I just have to say this, and I know a lot of people don't like what I'm about to say, but you can live without being up to date with the latest news that's out there. You know, some people say, oh, it's irresponsible. We have to know what's going on in the world. Why? We already know. It hasn't changed. You know, as Andrew says about, I'm sure you've heard about Smith Wigglesworth, he totally annihilated all outside influence into his mind. And we don't want to become that extreme, but yet we want his extreme results. You know, as Andrew said, he might have missed something valuable once or twice the whole time he didn't listen to it. But look at all the stuff he didn't get that he, you know. So we have to be careful what we're hooked up to. Because what we're hooked up to will come out of our mouths. And it will. It is planting seeds in our hearts. Listen, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I thought I was done with speaking about being the prophet of our own life, but I guess I'm not. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. You know, a lot of times we look at this verse and we look at it always being someone else. But I want you to focus on this verse today. It's talking about you. Let no corrupt word proceed. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. What is that? Building up. Edification is talking about being built up. So here we see that words either build up or tear down, right? How many of you growing up were told things that weren't good? Parents get mad, they say something. Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it. It's too late, right? I wish you'd never been born. I'm so sorry, I just got mad. You know I don't mean that. Well, then why just say it? What comes out of our mouth in a fit of anger really is what we really have thought about at some point, right? I've never, ever come out of my mouth something I never thought about when I'm angry, never. I never said, oh, E equals MC squared. Maybe if you're a husband, you don't think your wife supposedly keeps the house as clean as you like, you get mad. Look at this place. I didn't mean it, sweetheart. Sure you did. And vice versa. So let me just tell you this, okay? If you are married, or if you're not married, but you have someone, when you get mad and you hear stuff come out, think about what just came out. Don't bury it. Pretend it didn't happen. Why did that come out? Obviously, I've been thinking about that, right? We must own before we can disown. But let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do you know that you hear everything comes out of your mouth? I know that's profound, but you do. I'm just a dumb idiot. Gosh, I can't do anything right. You know, I've heard people say that a lot. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. All these types of things that come out of your mouth. You know, you're hearing what you're saying and you're believing. You know, Hitler, and I really believe this is true, he said, if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. So why won't it work for the truth if you tell it long enough? You'll believe it. You know that they have statistics? If someone will come to church and listen to the gospel preached 4 times, they'll get born again. Did you know that? What I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying it's a pure science, but a pastor, he did a study, just noticing people that were brand new, not come to church, weren't born again. He said if they would keep coming back, he said by the 4th time, almost every time, they'd come forward. Sometimes it takes a little time for the truth, because whether we like it or not, the truth is competing with the lie. That is why Satan is controlling the airwaves. I don't know if you've discovered that. He's controlled the media, all of them, okay? He's control of all the sitcoms, all the movies. Of course, the Christian ones are different types. You know what I'm trying to say. But if we're watching that stuff, whether we like it or not, we're being influenced. And so it's shocking the type of things that that's on television. We're embracing things we never even thought about embracing before, simply because we've been sedated and numbed to certain things. You remember way back in the 70s, they had that show Three's Company? Jack Tripper was the homosexual, but he wasn't really a homosexual. It was just part of the game so he could live with these 2 women so they could save money on rent. He wasn't really a homosexual, but he would pretend to be one whenever the landlord was around. And it's so funny. Why? Because he wasn't really one. You see the subtlety? The devil knew we wouldn't accept that right away. So he brings, oh, that's so funny. And then they bring one that really is one. And all these things. To get us to buy into the lie, if you tell it long enough, people will start to become numb to it and believe it. So we need to be careful what's coming out of our mouth. Is it edifying ourselves? Is it building us up? Is it imparting grace to the hearer? You know what grace is? It's the unearned, undeserved favor, love of God. It's also the power of God to do what God's called us to do. It has nothing to do with you deserving it, nothing to do with you being good enough for it. Here's the interesting thing about grace, okay? As soon as we think we're good enough to receive God's grace, we've disqualified ourselves from receiving it. Because you can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. So that's why it says grace. What? It is that which gives the power to be what God says. Who cares if I don't have the ability? God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you ever been faced with a challenge? And before you kind of, oh man, I don't know how to do it. Oh Lord. And the longer you wallow in that, you can't do it. Say, no, God's word says I can do all things. Thank you, Lord. I have the mind of Christ. And you start all of a sudden, bam. Figure it out. You get it done. Isn't that amazing? So we have to be the prophet of our own life. We have to be speaking forth what God's saying about us, right? It's about you declaring between you and God what God is saying, not just giving him your wish list, okay? But be careful who you tell it to. Remember, the 10 spies discouraged the people. They gave them the bad report. You tell your mom, you tell your dad, you tell your sister, your brother, your uncle, your aunt, your friend. God said, I'm going to go to so-and-so, or I'm going to do this and that. And they, who do you think you are? I'm nobody. I'm absolutely nobody in myself, but in Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. Bible says we are more than conquerors through him, in him, by him, right? Who loved us. And so I remember you can't help what's on your heart, speaking out what's on your heart. You can't help it. And sometimes you slip and tell the wrong people. How do you know when you've told the wrong people? When they scoff, laugh, or discourage you. Mark those people and don't talk to them again about those things, right? And those who encourage you, mark them too. There are people who believe God. You know, I've discovered people who don't do much for God are the ones who don't want you to do anything either. Remember that. That's powerful. It'll save you from worrying about the wrong opinions. People who haven't done much for God or anything for God don't want you to do anything for God. Why? Because then you would expose their unbelief. I remember when we were in Trinidad, and Lisa's parents are awesome. We love them. But when we were working with them, they wanted us to stay right there. And people will have plans for you. I don't know if you've discovered that. But people have plans for your life, right? Especially if you have grandkids and they're their grandparents. They like the grandkids being around whenever they want them to come around and then send them back. But we were there and we noticed Lisa's parents, they're in ministry, they love God. So be careful, okay? I'm not bashing them, because we can do the same thing, all of us. And it can be a compliment at the same time. But we would say things like, Lisa would say, oh, yeah, we're here for now, but we know that God has called us, and we're going back to Russia. See? Well, they didn't like that so much. And so they would just change the subject, get kind of aggravated and change the subject. One time, Lisa's mother got upset. And again, listen, I'm not trying to make fun of them. I'm not. They're great people. But I'm saying this is human nature coming out. She got upset and said, "What, you guys want to leave?" "Has nothing to do with it." One time Lisa said, "Man, you know, we need to be training up people. We can have like a little Bible school. We could be training up people and training them for leadership within the church. And they could start doing." And she, "What, you want to leave?" That wasn't even the point. Here's one thing I've discovered. If you're a leader, and we said this a little bit before, but if you're a leader and you have people under you, if it's time for them to go, they're going to go with or without your blessing. Listen, I'm not talking about things done the wrong way. But just because you try to discourage them from doing what God's put on their heart doesn't mean they're not going to do it. You know, we ended up leaving anyway. Now, we trained as much people as we could, but it could have been better, right? They could have had more people trained, but they weren't interested in that. Because why? Well, because if they don't train anybody, then they can't leave. Well, yes, we can. When it was time, we didn't leave before the time. God opened the door and all those types of things. And remember what I said, you don't lose people because they have vision. You lose people because they can't fulfill what God's put on their heart and stay with you. Now, I want to kind of balance that a little bit because sometimes people, they have a vision and they're a strong personality and they come in and they start helping someone and they believe God's put them there to help them and they try to do their own thing. You can't do that. If you are going to help someone, you need to help them, okay? They have a vision that God has given them, right? And you are not supposed to use people, so to speak. Don't treat people like a stepping stone. You know, this is a stepping stone for me. Now, this might be coming back here. I don't know. That's not my plan. You understand what I'm talking about? And so if I'm going to come here and work with Andrew, I have to make sure that what I'm doing fits in with what his vision is because this is his. Understand? It would be wrong for me to try to change the way he does things because that's the way I want to do them. It's not my, I don't have that authority or that right to do it. Either one of two things. One, God has me here for now, and I recognize that, so I fit into and try to do what I can do within what they're doing, right? Or leave. Those are my two options, right? So we have to have a balance. When we go to help other people, and a lot of times God will have us help someone else for a season. The children of Israel helped each other enter into their promised land, right? They had two and a half tribes on this side of the Jordan that the other children of Israel helped them enter into their promised land. But then they traveled with the other tribes and helped get their promised land going before they went back to theirs. So God does use us helping each other. So we have to recognize that, right? Amen? So we have to be the prophet of our own life, speaking grace to ourselves, speaking what God is saying, not just what we want, but what God wants. Now I want to talk about a little bit, how do we recognize what the vision is? Isn't that good? How do we recognize what God's vision is for us? First of all, it's a lot more simple than we think. I'd almost guarantee those of you who are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, raise your hand. Okay, we'll have an altar call a little bit. Now I know, just didn't raise your hand. But if you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you probably already know, even if you don't think you know. That's what we're going to talk about right now. The thing about vision is that we have to enjoy what we're doing. It's very important. See, God is intelligent. How many of you know God's intelligent? How many know God's smart? How many know God's not dumb? Okay? In the military, you don't care whether they want to do what they're being told to do. You don't care. That's not the point. But in the kingdom of God, God cares greatly about whether you enjoy what you're doing or not. Because I've discovered people who don't enjoy what they do don't do what they do very well. Does that make sense? How many of you ever sent your kids to clean their room, right? "Son, your room is dirty. Go clean it." He comes back in 1 minute. "You're done?" "Yeah." "I don't think so. Let's go take a look." You look under the bed, everything's shoved under there. You look in the closet, everything's shoved in there. "But I closed the door." Yes, you did close the door, but that wasn't cleaning the room. Why do they do that? They didn't want to clean the room. "So God, go pastor a church." "Okay, here I am." Now, I want to balance this because there are sometimes you do things you don't really care to do, but you're doing them so that you can do the things you want to do. How many know what I'm talking about? You want to enjoy your house. You got a nice, beautiful house. You don't like, who likes cleaning? Raise your hand. You like cleaning? Okay, I live over. Well, you like cleaning because of the results it gets. But the literal cutting the grass is not fun, but you like the way it looks when it's done and nice. So you understand what I'm talking about? Get a tan. So you understand what I'm talking about? There are things you do that you don't really necessarily love doing, but you love what it will produce, right? And so God He's going to give you a desire for what he has given you, the calling for your life, for the vision, for the plan, for the purpose he has for your life. There's going to be an incredible desire inspired by the heart of God. All right? Sometimes we get into the rut of doing what man wants us to do because we can't say no or whatever it is, and it doesn't bring us any pleasure. If what we're doing over a prolonged period of time does not bring us a sense of pleasure, a sense of fulfillment, let me put it that way, that's a good indication that we're doing what man wants and not what God wants. You should not allow man to manipulate you into doing what they want you to do if it's not what God wants you to do. Now, there's a balance, of course. Like I said, when we were in Trinidad, we tried many different things. I found out what I was not called to do, right? I led praise and worship with my wife. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with trying. Listen. But be smart enough to know if it's not for you. And it's not that you're terrible at it necessarily. Some people, it's obvious. I want to be on the worship team. Okay, here's a mic. And I go, oh, Lord God. You want to be involved? Yes. Okay, there's a sound table. You don't have to sing back there. You know, if you make a joyful noise unto the Lord, do it in the shower. You know, God, I don't know if you've noticed, but God has called people to do certain things. And what he calls them to do, he gives them the abilities to do it. If you don't have the ability to do it, if you can't recognize it, let someone else tell you. Sometimes you're tone deaf. You know, some people, they just don't know they don't sound good. No, sweetheart, I love you, but this ain't you. But when I was leading praise and worship, we talked about this. But this is very important because as people, the devil will try to get us confused and to doubt what we already know that the Lord has shown us, to cloud it out, to make it more difficult. The devil would love nothing more than for us to make the kingdom of God complicated. How many of you know God calls us sheep? Okay, you know what a sheep does? The only thing a sheep can do is follow or get lost. That's all they can do. They can't create. They can't invent. They're not intelligent. Now God made us intelligent, but what I'm saying is we're either being led by God or we're lost, okay? And since we're his sheep, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say, my sheep, if they do all these things, keep the Ten Commandments, blah, 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 they will then hear my... No, he said, my sheep hear my voice. The devil wants to tell us we're not hearing, we're not sensing, we don't know. But have you ever noticed that there's some things in the kingdom of God that excite you and other things don't? Have you ever noticed that? There's some things that when someone's talking about it, it's just like something is... you can't even explain it. How many know what I'm talking about? It's just your heart just goes, oh, man. Someone can come up and talk about orphanages and that, you know, some people are like, oh. And other people are like, what's the big deal? To someone, they're so excited about something, and to you, it does nothing. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Have you ever noticed praise and worship leaders? We were created to worship God. Evangelists, we were created to win souls. Whoever has their calling, we were created. That's it. We have to be careful. While God wants us to have single purpose, he is not a God of single purpose. I'm talking about with what he's doing. He has a single purpose as far as saving the world. But God is into orphanages, he's into evangelism, he's into pastoring churches, he's into administration, he's into all these giftings. How do we know God's given all these different giftings to the church and God's in all of them? We don't need to condemn ourselves when we're not excited about something that someone else is excited about. Because you may be excited about something else and they're not. So we need to start paying attention to what stirs us up on the inside. How many of you have ever done that? Turn on TBN or something like that, and they have different interviews with different people, and they're talking about what they're doing, and all of a sudden your heart just starts going. And for other people, it's like, I'm not even sure that's God. And I'm not talking about the kind of preaching and stuff and all that. I'm talking about what they're doing, right? How many of you get stirred up about orphanages? Raise your hand. 1, 2, see? 3, 4, 5, 6, good. How come no one else raised their hand? How come you're not seeking God? You're not sensitive. Because God is about orphanages. Look over in James chapter 1. This is what is pure and undefiled religion. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction. All of you other, oh, you're bad. You understand what I'm saying? I can get up and I can come. And let's say I'm an evangelist to India. And I talk about how we see thousands come to Christ. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I want to do that. And the person in the orphanage is like, well, are they doing orphanages? So I think you're getting it. What is it that your juices, your Holy Ghost juices start to flow? What is it? You need to identify that. Missionary comes and talks, and your juices start to flow. Someone else, man, that was the most boring slideshow I've ever seen in my life. And you're like, what are you talking about? All right? We all have our own calling from God, And God's going to put on your heart and draw you based upon what he wants you to do. What is God drawing you to? I just want to go home. You know, I talked to someone here, and I'm not going to give their name, but man, I just feel like God's calling me to go back home where I come from and work with the oil workers. Someone else might say, what? See what I'm talking about? We all know what we're kind of drawn to. Man, I come from New Orleans, and I really feel like God wants me just to, whatever. I just have this desire, whatever. God puts those desires on your heart, and if you're not careful, people will talk you out of it. People will try to make it too complicated. Well, what's your plan? I don't know yet. Well, then it can't be God. Yes, it can be. God says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know if you discovered, but a lamp only gives you so much light at a time. Didn't say a spotlight. It didn't say the sun that illuminates every single thing that's in its path. A light unto my path. Have you ever had a flashlight? You know what you do if you shine? How many of you ever walk on a path at night? A path. Not a sidewalk. Not a big open street with street lights, but a path through the woods that's dark, scary. Everything you hear, who's that? It's nothing but a frog or something. So I come from South Louisiana, and man, we have a flashlight. You see the path? Do you shine the path way ahead, or you shine it right by your feet? Hallelujah. Sometimes God doesn't give you the plan till you get there. So that's what we need to do. God's going to put things in your heart and draw you based upon what he wants you to do, not based on what someone else wants you to do, not just based upon what you want to do sometimes. How many of you, since getting born again, your desires have totally changed? Before, you wanted to take from people. Now you want to help people. I'm not talking about stealing, but really, if it's about, I want to be the richest billionaire, you're taken. You're a taker. You're not a giver, unless you're called of God and you're using that finances for the glory of the kingdom. But most billionaires I know aren't, or the ones I heard of. I don't know too many billionaires personally. I think I ran into a few of them. They weren't too impressed. Why? I couldn't do nothing for them. So when you know when the things that God's drawing you towards, right, you need to start taking steps towards the thing that God's put in your heart that gets you excited. Some people get excited about children's ministry. Well, go help in the church you're in. So simple sometimes. We make it so difficult. I knew God had called me to go to the nations and teach the word of God and train up people. So what did I do? I started getting involved here at CBC before I went anywhere. If you can't take the small steps, you'll never be able to take the big ones. All of you have already taken the small steps. Some of you have already signed up for the apprenticeship, right? Some of you have done so simply because you're not exactly sure where you're supposed to go. That's fine. I was the same way. I had an idea but didn't know exactly where or how to get there. That's fine. If God's given you that step and you feel comfortable with it, go for it. I remember I was sharing this in Russia about just the things that you want to do. And you kind of have the little heads up on that because you've been taught about God gives you the desires of your heart. But I'm sitting there talking in Russia, and they're just all of a sudden they're like, man, you mean that's God? Yes. Wow. Why? Because so much Christian doctrine is whatever you want to do is probably not God. Well, it's true if you're not born again and not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're carnal, want to live for yourself. Probably true. And so God has been speaking to us. So we start asking God, God, what is it you want to do with my life? And he doesn't say anything because he's already said it, and you get depressed thinking you didn't hear God when he's already told you. So in order to accomplish the vision that God's giving us, we have to start making decisions based upon that desire in our heart. If I do this, will this help to promote what God has put inside my heart? Yes or no? Now, there is an overriding factor because sometimes we're not sure how it will fit, but we know God's telling us to do it. God is always the trump card. You know what I'm talking about? God trumps everything. If God's told you to go, it's because he knows. Even though you may not be able to fully picture it right now in your own way of thinking. That's why the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your path. Here's another thing. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be so much in bondage and in fear about directing our paths. You're not supposed to direct your path. Just make sure that you are not leaning on yourself, that you're acknowledging God. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall bring it to pass, right? In all your ways acknowledge him. Wow. He's really made it so simple. He really has. How many times when we first hear something, someone's ministering something or they're speaking and our heart explodes and we get excited, right? But then we have time to think about it and we think, how will it work? What if this isn't God? What if I make a mistake? We talked about this already. Who cares if you make a mistake? You're going to make mistakes anyway, so might as well make mistakes trying to do what God told you. How many of you noticed that? You're going to make mistakes anyway, whether you do what God tells you to do or not. How many of you, there was a time in your life when you weren't doing what God wanted you to do? How many of you made mistakes? Right? Probably bigger ones. Sometimes we have a false start. How many of you know what I'm talking about? A false start. You know, the devil will use a false start to discourage us from ever trying again. Sometimes a false start is we're on the right track, but we just jump the gun a little bit. That's all. You know what they do in a race when there's a false start? They don't just say, hey, you get out of here. That's it. That's it for you. Now, of course, in a race, you have three false starts, but with God, you have more. I mean, it's unlimited. The gifts and callings of God without repentance. You never lose if you don't give up in the kingdom of God. You just start over. But if you've had a false start, you need to learn from them. Because even though you get to start over, how many of you know it takes you some time, right? Here's something else I want to say about vision. A lot of people probably not here, but I'm going to say it anyway because you'll be able to minister to someone else later, if not yourself. We are accountable to God, not to man, for what God's telling us, right? When we stand before God, all of the excuses or the people as to why we couldn't do what God told us won't be there. Well, what happens if my pastor doesn't agree? Well, is your heart right or is your heart in rebellion? You know, you have to balance everything, you understand? But if your heart is right, not everyone's going to agree with what God's telling you. How many of you remember the Sanhedrin told Peter and John, do not preach in the name of Jesus ever again? Those were the leaders. And there are times when you hear people say you always have to obey your leadership. Always be careful with always and always be careful with never. You will never be blessed until you do. Be careful. You will always fail if your leader doesn't agree with you. Be careful. That's control. Because the Sanhedrin told Peter and John, don't do this again. What did Peter and John say? Okay, you're the leaders. God says submit to your leadership. We're sorry. He said, we don't know how you think. Maybe to you it's okay to obey God rather than man, but let me tell you, we're going to obey God, right? They weren't disrespectful, arrogant, beating their chest. We're anointed of God, and who are you? You know, they didn't do none of that. They just told them. When we stand before God, I won't be able to tell him, well, I didn't do what you wanted me to do because I just didn't have the money. I didn't have the contacts. Didn't have the opportunities. You know what God will say in that? I know you didn't have the money. I did. You see, when God gives you the vision that he wants for you to do, he doesn't give you a vision for where you are right now, but for where he wants to take you. That's powerful. Think about that. He's not giving you a vision from where you are now, but from where he wants to bring you. If what you see in your heart is bigger than what you can accomplish, and it's going to take God to fulfill it, that's good. He's not expecting you to focus on what you don't have or what you do have. He's wanting you to focus on him so he can bring to you what he wants. That's why when we're the prophet of our own mouth, we are declaring what God's saying, not what we're necessarily seeing. Amen? And so we'll finish up next time.